Jay?
Here.
Kurt?
He's in town, so we'll just call him excused for now.
Okay. Cindy?
Here.
Eric?
Here.
Mark?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, we have a...
Here.
Welcome.
$5 in the bucket, please. Just for the record, Mr. Walhooter is here, so we'll let him get situated and we'll continue. So we have everybody present tonight, one of them telephonically. So now it's time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. I would entertain a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes from December 7th of 2015.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved by Member Greger, seconded by Member Lynn to approve the regular meeting minutes of December 7th. I don't see any hands coming up for changes, so we will, all those in favor say aye.
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 And that brings us to amendment and approval of tonight's meeting agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's meeting agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second? Moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Walhooter to approve tonight's meeting agenda. Anybody have any changes? Okay, seeing none, we will go with the meeting agenda as set. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, no public hearings on tonight's agenda. No bid awards. Is there any visitors' views related to items on today's agenda? Seeing none. We have a pretty small audience here this morning for those listening in the radio world. Visitors' views unrelated to tonight's agenda? Seeing none. Moves us on to board, commission, and committee reports. And there's, am I missing something? I thought there was something on tonight's agenda. Is that down farther? That's down farther. Report of other officers. Okay. That brings us to the consent agenda. Tonight there is four items, A, B, C, and D. And under D, there's two items there. John, did you have anything you wanted to say related or unrelated to today's agenda? No? Okay. So I will entertain a motion to approve all of the items on the consent agenda. Just for people listening, there's a renewal of Island Ventures LLC Scalway turnaround lease, approval of professional services contract with Ray Matuszewski and Associates for our 2016 lobbying services. That's $3,500 a month. Ray has been with us for probably going on 8 years or maybe more by now. And another item is approval of a liquor license renewal application for the Loyal Order of the Moose, Lodge 1092, Sons of Norway, and Petersburg Little League gaming permits. So I would entertain a motion to approve those items on the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Member Walhooter, seconded by Member Lynn to approve the items on the consent agenda. Any discussion on those? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those items are approved. Report of other officers. We have Michelle Drew of BDO, that's our auditing firm, will provide a review of the fiscal year 2015 audit and financials via telephone. So Michelle, are you here?
I am here.
Okay, you're up.
All right, great. So thank you so much for having me this evening. And let me just ask a quick question. Do you have two documents there in front of you? One is our typical wrap-up document, and then the other is the audit itself?
Yes, we do.
Okay, great. So I'm going to just try to keep it relatively short, hit the highlights, and I'm going to start actually with the wrap-up document. Again, for the record, my name is Michelle Drew, and I'm the audit partner at BDO, and I'm very happy that we've been able to continue working with the Petersburg Borough. You guys have been a great client for us, and we really love coming down to Southeast, and you know, your books and records are in pretty good working order, and it really just makes for a good experience for us. So starting with the wrap-up document, again, kind of hitting some highlights, page 3, we did issue an unmodified opinion, and that's basically a clean audit report, which is kind of the highest report card you can get from an external auditor. Everything we asked for was made available to us. We received excellent cooperation from everyone, really, at the borough in getting ready for the audit and then wrapping up the audit. So we really do appreciate everyone's cooperation and assistance. So over on the next page 4, I'm going to spend just a minute here talking about the big ticket items. You know, one of these days, I'm going to be so happy to never say the word PERS ever again, but this is not that day. So some big ticket items that happened this year that are really directly relevant to your audit. Number one, GASB passed a new accounting rule, GASB 68, that the borough was required to adopt this year and did in fact adopt this year. But GASB 68 basically said the borough now has to record its share of the unfunded net pension liability as it relates to PERS. That statement is actually very complicated in its own right, but the complications were exacerbated by the fact that the state of Alaska actually has a unique statutory clause that says the state will make contributions to the plan as well. That statute is known as the on behalf provision. So when you read GASB 68, there's a specific rule inside of GASB 68 that says if you're in a special funding situation, then you do this, and if you're not in a special funding situation, then you do that. And the special funding situation is cued directly to those on behalf provisions and statute. So the Department of Law at the state of Alaska issued a white paper back in August that basically said it's the state of Alaska's position that the statutes in question do not constitute a special funding situation. However, pretty much, I don't want to say every auditor everywhere, but most of the independent auditors, the auditors of the municipalities and school districts, I believe legislative audit for the state of Alaska, you know, a number of auditors have come on board and said, you know, we really do believe that it is a special funding situation as the law is currently written. And so your financial statements actually do reflect the net pension liability as if a special funding situation does exist. And this is important because, number one, the legislature could change those statutes at any time, which would then change the liability that you've recorded. And number two, should there be some kind of reinterpretation or legal action or other settlement issue associated with this, that could also change the dynamic. And it's important because the borough did book a very large liability on your books, which I'll point out in a minute when we get to the actual financials. But the important thing is, if you were not treating it as if you were in a special funding situation, then your liability recorded would actually be $4.9 million higher. And it's also important for me to point out to you that this is just the retirement portion of the liability. The health care component of the PERS plan doesn't even come online for another year or two. So that was the big ticket change, and it's taken up a humongous amount of audit time, effort, energy. I'm sure Jody can probably tell you that those work papers are kind of crazy and, you know, very difficult to follow and complicated to adopt. But again, that was by far the biggest change as it relates to your financial statements this year. And it is, again, in dispute with numerous municipalities, as well as the state of Alaska, kind of are currently in sort of a, I don't want to say a negotiation, but they're certainly having meetings about it right now to try to get everybody onto the same page. Going back specifically then again to Petersburg specifically, flipping the page, over on page 7, we did not report any material weaknesses. We didn't report any significant deficiencies. That basically means we didn't report any findings at all, which is a good thing. Over on page 8, no significant deficiencies encountered during the audit. However, again, because of the whole PERS situation and late receipt of the information by the state of Alaska, it has resulted in a little bit of a delay in getting some of the reports issued this year. And again, although we're not aware that the borough had any outside consulting or accountant consulting on this issue, I can tell you that statewide there's been a huge discussion and debate about it. So, and then lastly, in the kind of wrap-up communications, there are several new GASB accounting statements coming in the next 2 to 3 years on top of, you know, GASB 68 is not enough. They seem to want to issue new statements every year. So there's a number of new statements coming down the pike. And again, just a friendly reminder, uniform guidance is in effect now. The single audit threshold is increasing. A lot of the federal single audit rules and regulations are changing. And the borough will definitely want to make sure that you're staying on top of what those rules and regulations are with regards to grants management. So that's kind of it from just a how did the audit go perspective. But if you could flip in the actual audit, page 26 and 27, and I'm just going to, again, hit a couple of big highlights here. What you see on page 26 is a snapshot of your enterprise fund, just a moment in time, at June 30th, 2015. And the good news here is that despite the fact that you did have to actually record this net pension liability, and I guess I should back up and say one more thing, the net pension liability is actually considered a long-term liability, and it's only reflected in your enterprise funds and your government-wide financial statements, but it doesn't affect your general fund, it doesn't affect your day-to-day budget for budgeting purposes. And you are just going to, at this point, keep paying in the 22%. So, to some extent, it's a lot of there's a lot of accounting paperwork going on here that doesn't really change what you're doing from day to day. But it is fairly significant when you look at the financial statements. So again, snapshot in time, page 26, page 27, and you can see the net pension liability is on page 27. It's not quite halfway up the page. And you can see that for just the enterprise funds portion alone, it's $2.2 million. And that has now been reflected in your enterprise fund financial statements. The governmental side of the house, which is not shown on that page, the net pension liability for the governmental side is $3.2 million. And again, as I said, if you were not in a special funding situation, it would be, what did I say, $4.7 million higher than that. So in total, it was $5.4 million. So the good news is, despite the fact that you did have to pick up that new liability this year, with the exception of your assisted living fund, all of your enterprise funds are still reporting positive unrestricted equity. So they all have positive cash, and again, except for assisted living, they all showed positive cash flow for the year. So I think if you look on page 28, you have the income statement for those same enterprise funds. And again, if you just were to throw out the effective depreciation, I think we probably say this every year, throw out the effective depreciation, and are you in the red or are you in the black? And so if you just look at the net change in that position, or the income or loss from operations, you can see the negatives kind of going across the page from the loss from operations. But if you pull the depreciation out of that equation, with the exception of assisted living, every enterprise fund was actually bringing in revenue sufficient to cover the day-to-day costs and covering some portion of the depreciation. So on the whole, I would say that the enterprise funds, you know, were doing pretty good, but you need to, of course, keep an eye on those things. Someday, all that fixed asset repairs and maintenance and replacement is going to come due, and at that point, you'll need to be able to fund it as well. Page 78, then, really quickly, is your general fund. And the general fund balance sheet side, it's not radically different. You can see the side-by-side presentation, not radically different from 2014 to 2015. On the general fund side, 87% of your assets are actually in cash. So that means you have cash basically to fund your day-to-day operations. On the fund balance side, unassigned fund balance did decline by about $500,000 between 2014 and 2015. But again, despite that, you do have about 5.3 months worth of regular operating expenses. So that's a good solid place to be in the continuum. So it's a healthy looking balance sheet. On the income statement side, general fund, over on page 79, 55% of your revenues came from your taxes, which are your locally generated. If you look at intergovernmental, revenues make up 36% of the total revenues for the year. And again, if you look at PERS, we have yet another outlier, because during FY15, the state did contribute a big one-time lump sum payment to the tune of a billion with a B dollars. And so you can see when you compare what you got last year, $393,000, to what rolled through your books for just the general fund side in 2015, you can see it's $1 million higher almost than last year. So when you flip over to page 80 and you get to the total revenue side, you had budgeted just at $10 million. You brought in right about $11 million. So you came in better than projected at 1.5, but remembering that there's almost $1 million uptick living in that $1.5 million because of the PERS effect. PERS does not generate profit or loss. The on behalf does not generate profit or loss. So when you get down into the expense side, you can see the same sort of thing going on in the expenditures and non-departmental. You're roughly, again, $1 million over budget because the on behalf wasn't actually part of the, what was budgeted for on behalf was an approximation of last year. And then they kicked in this $1 billion, which really kind of changes those calculations. So at the end of the day, on page 81, overall total expenditures for FY15, $9.8 million. Again, overspent the budget by $657,000. Of course, $900,000 of that is PERS, so you really would have been underspent in the aggregate if you threw that out of the equation. And the overall net change in fund balance was a reduction of approximately $500,000. But if you look at the transfers out, that really is kind of what's accounting for that in particular. $2.8 million were transferred out of the general fund. $949,000 of that went to the harbor. And $1.3 million of that went to the property development fund. So then the last thing, and I promise I really am going to stop talking because I know you have an agenda to cover there. Page 136 and 137 are your state and federal single audit reports. The federal side, page 136, you spent just over $2 million. In 2014, that number was 3.3. And then again on page 138, you had about $11 million in state funding that was spent this year, and of course that includes the PERS relief that allocation, which was $2.2 million this year, which is quite a bit higher than last year. So I would expect the grants, frankly, I would expect to start seeing the grants decline. The state budget being what it is, they're just not going to be issuing as many grants going forward. So. Anyway, I guess that's kind of it. No findings, good report. I think the balance sheet of the general fund is healthy. I think the books and records were in good order. You've got a lot of other funds and activity that I didn't talk about in this report at all, but I think with one exception, everything's got positive fund balance, positive cash, so everything seems to be, trucking along pretty well. So all in all, I would say this is a very good report. And I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Okay, Michelle, thank you. Any questions of Michelle? Cindy, did you pick all that up all right?
I did. The only unfortunate thing is there's not an attachment of the documents, so that's something I'm going to have to look at when I get back to town.
Yeah, the one's 140-odd pages, and the other one's about 30, so... Okay, well, Michelle, I don't see anybody with any questions, so thanks for your report. It sounds like we're in okay shape.
Yep, no, you're doing good, so great.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you so much.
You bet. Have a good holiday. Okay, that brings us to the mayor's report. Pretty short tonight. The borough is seeking letters of interest from borough residents and willing to serve on the following boards and commissions until October of 2016. That's when the next municipal election is. We have two vacant seats on the hospital board and one on the planning commission. And again, the letters of interest can be sent to the borough clerk, email dthompson@petersburgak.gov or mailed to box 329 here in Petersburg. And the Alaska Municipal League Winter Legislative Conference will be in Juneau, and that will be between the 15th and the 17th. And I think Cindy has expressed interest in going, and I will be going, and Bob is going to be going. He's on the committee. If anybody else would like to go, you need to make your reservations and travel plans. So, and we're going to have another half a day off on Christmas Eve for the borough employees. It's been a long-standing tradition for the mayor to give them a day off. I think Mayor Dwyer started that, so I will continue that and give. I guess they're just going to keep getting a day off. I don't want to take responsibility for it, but I said they could, I guess. So there we go. And that brings us to the manager's report, and I believe Cindy will read that for us this evening. Steve is out with family business.
Cindy's not quiet.
Debbie, rather.
Okay.
Different person. Cindy, yeah, go ahead.
I can read it, but I don't know that you can hear it.
No, sorry. I meant Debbie.
Okay, good. Okay, so Steve did something a little different since it's the end of 2015, and he asked all of the department heads what they had accomplished or what things had happened in their department over the year that they were the most thankful for. So, Jody is thankful that she was able to complete the conversion of the harbor billing to new billing software. This software gives the harbor users the option to pay online, automatically interfaces with our accounting software, and is much more user-friendly for the staff. The clerk's office, myself and Mindy, we're thankful that we ran a successful election, our first election by ourselves, and everything went smooth. We changed the voting venue up a little bit, and we thought that the flow through there was pretty good, and people seemed happy with it. Mindy also added that she was thankful she was able to learn enough in the clerk's office to let me go on vacation and not bother me. She did a great job, as always. Power and Light is very proud of the work they've done at the hydro this year. The operational test of the low-level outlet gate valve at the dam, which hadn't been operated in over 20 years, and the successful replacement of the turbine needle valve, which was original equipment from 1950. So they replaced some old stuff there. Sheelin cheated and listed two. The new van that Mountain View Manor got with the help of Liz and Chris and others has enabled people to get out and about with ease, and nobody's left behind due to disability. And the residents up there love it. She also wanted to recognize the incredible care that their residents get due to the excellent staff. It is a tough job, and they do it very well. Tara and the library are proud of recognizing the value of joining the Joint Library Consortium online catalog. Now our local users have access to over 2 million items, and the annual costs for software and hardware maintenances are down 70%. That's amazing. Sandy, Ryan, and the volunteers are thankful for the support of the community in their efforts to provide fire, EMS, search and rescue services to the Petersburg Borough. Leaving their families, their jobs, and nice warm beds on a moment's notice is much easier when the staff and volunteers truly know the community has their backs. We do appreciate them. Carl is very proud of the progress on the cart-based recycling program. Through the hard work of staff, vendors, and the community, we're almost there in the implementation of this important service. Chris is thankful for getting the majority of the wastewater improvements projects on Nordic and Hagen Drive completed. These projects required coordination with various agencies and contractors and were very challenging at times. Nice to have them mostly behind us and the new infrastructure available for our community. Donnie is proud of the work that has been done at the cemetery and the creation of the new columbarium. This couldn't have been done without the help of Paul Anderson, Ira Morgan, Karen Malcolm, Jesse O'Connor, and the mighty men of the Public Works Department. So good job. Glorianne is thankful for the work done by all of the community to help produce the Waterfront Master Plan and the borough's comprehensive plans. These two documents solidify the important history and the various aspects of each department within the borough and give guidance for continued independence and future growth. Even though GLOW said it first, it says, getting the comprehensive and waterfront plans to this point was a year-long process involving every department, local organizations, and hundreds of residents. It's really gratifying to see how each individual's input ultimately became a whole vision for the future of our community. And that was from Liz. Kudos to Molly for migrating our mapping data to GIS. This is an ongoing and time-consuming process. But we've got the base layers needed in place, and as we add more data, it will become useful to several various departments. And a shout out to Joe B. for all his work training Liz this year. Kelly is thankful for all of his staff and their accomplishments. This year, there have been 3,939 calls for service so far, or at least at the date of this report. And that has included 10 sexual abuse of a minor or sexual assault cases, 46 assaults, 81 traffic crashes, and 65 arrests, including 12 for DUI. Also, officers successfully performed CPR on one person, literally saving a life. The dispatchers have processed approximately 1,000 calls from 911, as well as countless administrative calls ranging from, I need someone, my loved one just passed away, to, what's the number to TU? That's for sure, that happens. This has also included supervising inmates where they kept them safe, fed, and cleaned the unimaginable from jail cells. For all of this, the staff deserves our acknowledgement and our thanks. And I think we all do definitely appreciate them. And this is Steve. Celebrated my fourth year here in Petersburg, and it is as wonderful as the first year. Very proud of the staff who have had to live with me harping about the budget all year. Their dedication to their jobs, the borough, and our community contribute greatly to our quality of life and our organization.
Thank you for reading that, Debbie.
You bet.
So I guess Steve's not here, so we can't ask him any questions, and I hope things are going well with his mother-in-law's in Juneau for some health issues. So hopefully that comes along good. And next item on the agenda is unfinished business, and the only item under unfinished business is a scheduling of the comprehensive plan and waterfront master plan review and approval process. And since the agenda has been put together, Liz added a few things there and actually gives us a schedule for first, second, and third readings. Would you like to talk about the plan, Liz, the schedule? Or
sure.
If no one has any questions about it, we could just move forward. So I don't know if we need a, maybe we need a motion to approve the schedule. So I'd entertain a motion to approve this schedule or make changes to it.
So move.
Sure. Okay, been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Wallhooter, I believe, to approve the schedule of the comprehensive plan and waterfront master plan process. Discussion? Bob?
If I could ask a couple questions to Liz. When you come back to the assembly or with proposals, are they going to be such that the you're going to be asking for approval for them, or are they going to be alternatives, or what's your thinking at the current state?
My thinking is that we would have the draft document and then a series of recommended changes and the reasons why from the Planning Commission and from the Harbor Advisory Board, assuming there are some. So all those potential changes would be vetted through those boards, and then the document that ends up before you would be, you know, their recommendation of a final package for approval.
This would be recommended changes to that comprehensive plan. Is that what you're thinking?
Right. So based on any comments that we received over this current time period, it would be based on those. I expect that any comments we do receive will be all put together and available for the assembly to read, so you'll be able to see everything that got sent to the Planning Commission and the Harbor Advisory Board, and I think they're going to go through and kind of pick out what they think is worth changing. I assume some things would be maybe changes, errors of fact that need to be changed in the document, but we would put all that down and explain why or why not we would be recommending a change. They would be recommending a change there.
Okay. At that point, then, you would see that then to put into some priority of all the items that you would come forward with, is some priority to be accomplished? Is that your thinking?
Mayor, if they could speak up. I'm not hearing Liz.
Okay, Cindy, thanks.
Okay. Yeah, my question, Liz, is that do you see that then in some priority order? How do you see it? I'm trying to get to understand how you see the picture at the end here.
Let me just make sure I'm answering the question you're asking. So you're asking, let's say we have some goal that we're trying to meet and a series of strategies underneath that. Are you asking whether those things would be prioritized? Or are you asking, yeah, is that?
Well, let me see if I can clarify it a bit. I'm sure with what you're going to come forward with is going to cost a lot of money. One way or another. And obviously then there has to be some priority put on it the way I see it. Is that, and so there would have to be some maybe prioritization by the assembly, or what, I'm not trying to understand your thinking in that line.
Well, as I see it, the plan is a document of intent. So, you know, it's kind of like, here's the direction we want to go. As we move forward and look at what the departments feel like they can implement and what their priorities are, I think that information is going to come after you approve it. So then the departments could go through and say, here's kind of our work plan based on what's in the comprehensive plan for the coming year, and present that to you. And that's going to be through the budget process and also through policy statements and the direction that they want to go. So even assuming that you approve the comprehensive plan, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to start going right down that list and implementing. Everything still has to go through its normal public process and vetting process. So I would expect that, you know, the document would go back to the department heads and have them look at it again and come up with annual work plans and future plans based on what's in there and what they can reasonably accomplish given budget constraints.
Okay, that answers that question. When the borough was formed, in the document that was filed with the commission, in the public testimony, and in the follow-up responses to the public comment, there was promises made to these people outside of Service Area 1. How do you see those playing into this? Because reading the document, I see those promises, some of those promises anyhow, thrown out the window.
I see this document as being the result of people providing input. And what's in there are things that came up more than once from the public. So if it's in that document, the consultants heard it multiple times. Whether, if you're talking, you know, I'll use a specific one, which is zoning outside of Service Area 1. Whether that actually ever becomes a reality is going to be a long public process. I think what they're setting the stage for is for those conversations to occur and for us to start thinking about how we're going to manage all the land within the borough. And zoning and land use is part of that. I think, again, it's you pass the document, it doesn't create zoning in any way. It just has a general intent. And if you read the language that's in the plan, it says you should consider zoning. So what they're saying is, you know, most places have some type of land use on their within their boundaries. You should think about doing that and what some of the benefits are of doing that within the borough and outside of Service Area 1. And they're basing that on comments that they received from people who have bought property outside of Service Area 1, and they might have spent quite a bit of money to develop that property, but they have absolutely no protection of what could occur in the neighboring property. And for some people who are in very rural areas, it might be something that they think is never going to happen. But in some places outside of service area one that are on the road system, it's much more of a real life situation. And there might be, and it's also recommended the plan to look at the difference between the types of land use you might have on Mikoff Island where you have road access versus in areas where you don't have road access and it's much more a rural of an area. So I think, you know, what they're suggesting again is you should take a hard look at this as you move forward into the future and start having these conversations, because if things happen and the places that are important to us change in a way that we don't like, we have absolutely no control right now over what happens out there, and there's nothing we can do.
Okay. For now, I'm okay, except I think there's a question. In the charter, it talks about establishing service areas. And I know on the charter committee, we had quite a number of discussions about how many there would be, what criteria would you use, and that's simply flushed over in the comprehensive plan. But it seems to me that there was promises made that the people who are affected would have a say or a vote in this. So it seems to me there's a systematic approach to this, which so far I see missing in that comprehensive plan. I may be wrong, but that's the way I see it.
Okay, one more thing. Oh, and I would add, if that's the direction that we, you know, the assembly decides they want to go in order to have this conversation, I think that's fine. I don't think it's suggesting that we circumvent any established process. So.
Yeah, I don't feel that would be the intent of the plan.
Yeah.
No. Any other questions of Liz? Cindy, do you have any questions? Did you hear that all right this time?
I did hear that, and I was satisfied with Liz's answer.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or discussion on the comprehensive plan schedule? Nope. Thank you, Liz. Well, I guess we will vote to approve the schedule as it is, and I'm sure it's subject to change with just like any of our meetings are. So at least we'll have a guideline, a base to go by. So all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We will use this as a guideline. Next item on the agenda is new business. First item is an ordinance. It's ordinance 2015-16, and it's an ordinance amending the official zoning map for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough, and it's to rezone parcel 1-007-647 at 205 South 3rd Street from public use to single-family mobile home. And I'll entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2015-16 in its first reading.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lynn to adopt ordinance 2015-16, in its first reading. Discussion?
Yeah, you know, just one.
Sure.
So the public use, what is that actually used for? Is that parks and playgrounds or what is that?
Liz, can you answer that? Who would be the best one to answer?
I can answer that. It's traditionally it's been used for obviously public use, things like the municipal building, public works building, but it's also been used for some of our park facilities.
Okay.
And it sounds like there's already been, this is land has been leased, right? It's out the discussion we had today, so it's already basically being used for what we're going to change it to.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we just need to do it by ordinance, three readings. So, any other discussion on this ordinance or questions of anybody? Clerk, call the roll.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jenny?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2015-16 passes unanimously in its first reading. The next item under new business is resolution 2015-22. It's a resolution authorizing a sole source procurement from Alaska Pump and Plumbing Incorporated in the amount of $40,485, and it's to purchase a pump for a lift station, I believe. So I'll entertain a motion to approve resolution 2015-22.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Greger to approve resolution 2015-22. Any discussion? Bob?
Just a question, is this, by doing a sole source like this with a particular pump that I, in the reading says that was recommended by your consultant, Are we into a situation where we've got a unique pump that if it ever fails, we can't find a replacement?
Well, I mean, the piping is such that you could put a different pump in there if you wanted to. You know, most pumps these days, you're not going to be able to get those parts for the next 50 years. You know, parts availability goes out maybe 20 years. And so these pumps are not any different than any other brand in that regard. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, so then why do we need sole source if any pump, or if only we had the specifications put out, why does it need to be sole source?
Well, we want to source pumps ahead of time, and we want to use the type of pumps that we have in all of our other lift stations, because we deal with this distributor for many of our pumps, and it's, you know, industry standard equipment. In fact, it's some of the best equipment in the industry. And so when we design a project like this, you know, you decide early on what type of pumping system you're going to use. Your engineer builds that into the plans. Typically, you know, these type of decisions, you know, if you're not on a tight schedule, they don't even come up in this sort of forum, because the contractor buys the pumps, they buy what's spec'd, and you know, it's all part of the construction contract. In this case, we're trying to get ahead of the schedule a little bit, because we're on a really tight time frame, and so and the amount, you know, falls outside of what the borough manager is authorized to approve. So did I answer all your questions? Or
yes, thank
yeah,
you.
Okay.
Any other questions of Chris or anybody, or discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 2015-22 passes unanimously. Next resolution is 2015-23, and it's a resolution adopting an alternative allocation method for the fiscal year 16 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program, and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in FMA 18, Central Southeast. I'll entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Wallhuter to adopt this resolution. And what it amounts to, if I read it right, Jody, maybe you could correct me, or Glow, whoever's best to answer this, it's for the amount. We would get $14,000 some odd dollars out of this?
Correct.
And this is for fish that's not delivered in Petersburg, but caught
that's
in our area roughly?
Outside the 3-mile limit.
Oh, okay. So it's our share by population, basically. Kurt?
So this isn't the same as the raw fish tax as I was reading this today. So would this just go into the general fund then, or would this be dispersed into the harbor?
It's budgeted to go into the general fund.
Okay.
And it's just the annual paperwork. You guys have this every December.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Formality, it sounds like. So will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 2015-23 passes unanimously. And that brings us up to consideration of a special use permit. I'd entertain a motion to approve the special use permit.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Greger, seconded by Member Lynn, to consider the special use permit. And if I read it right, for the people listening in the audience, it's to create a driveway up on Noceum Street for Aaron and Jody Severson to access their property to build a home. So any questions or discussion? Clerk, call the roll. Did someone say something? No. Clerk, call the roll then, please.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Okay, this consideration of a special use permit passes unanimously. That brings us to communications. Is there any communications anybody has to talk about this evening? Seeing none. Assembly discussion items, there's nothing listed under that, but anybody have anything they want to discuss? Nancy?
I'm wondering if we should start writing an ordinance about the marijuana stuff before the state usurps whatever little power we may still have yet left.
You know, I think it's something we're going to have to do in the near future, and I was talking to Jay a little bit before the meeting. He's going to talk about their last meeting they had, I believe, Jay, at their meeting in January?
Correct. On our first meeting in January, I will issue a committee report.
Okay.
If that serves the mayor fine.
Yep, that seems to. And I know Debbie and I were talking about it, and we have to have three readings, so it's a six-week process, and I haven't been keeping up with all of the details statewide, but aren't they going to start accepting applications for permits mid-February, the state? So, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. So that will definitely be something we have on a upcoming agenda. So make sure we have time to address it before the state. And we're going to have to follow their rules anyway, if I understand, right?
Right. But we still have some say.
Yeah.
At this point. So.
Yeah. So, okay, is there any other discussion items? Recognitions? Anybody have any recognitions? Attaboys? Anybody? No?
I actually have a couple.
Oh, okay, Cindy.
And they're small, but they're big for Petersburg. I know that the paper and the radio station are great about getting out Eulabucking and other community events, but there are also two local individuals who do that on Facebook, and that's Angela Christensen and Megan Hayes. I have actually gotten calls about our Eulabucking schedule while I was out of town, and I was able to refer people to those locations to be able to highlight activities in town. And I know that takes personal time to do that, and I just wanted to express appreciation for that.
Thank you for the recognition. It's always nice when people put in a good plug for our town. So, this is kind of on a personal note, but I'd like to recognize my son for graduating from engineering school last weekend. It was pretty fun to go watch. So anyway, I know you're not listening, Bill, but there it is. Okay, any other recognitions? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 We're done.